All right, so let's learn. So it's been a while to be able to get this year up and running, Baruch Hashem. Mm-hmm. Of all the shiurim that I give, I think that this, the Monday night shiurim, like, you know, she doesn't know, it gives me the most tzipa gedolah. I don't know if I have that. When I prepare for the Monday night shiur, then I think that it gives me the most tzipa gedolah. I do all the shiurim, I don't know, but something special about Nigel and Nister coming together like this. All right, so one of the mitzvahs that we have in this week's parasha is a nisr. It's one of the lois essays, one of the prohibitions in Torah, which is as follows. Marmuk number one. So it's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bahar. It says in pasuk, "Ve'evin maskis le'sidnu ba'artzichem l'shtach v'yisoleha." So I spoke about this love, I think maybe last year or 2 years. I can't remember exactly when. I think we spoke about this once, but now we'll speak on a different angle. So it says in pasuk, "Evin maskis le'sidnu ba'artzichem l'shtach v'yisoleha," which again, the way it's interpreted by Tarsh Baal Peh is that, again, the literal words are, one should not, the Torah says, don't place in your lands Evan Maskis. Evan Maskis is hard to translate. Some sort of large stone floor in order to bow down upon. So even though the language might make it sound like there's a prohibition of laying stone floors, but the way it's, again, accepted, the way it's interpreted, is that there's a prohibition of bowing down on a stone floor. Bowing down on a stone floor. Now, as we'll see, this is not talking about bowing to Avodah Zarah. This is talking about bowing to Hashem. It's a shtach avoya to Hashem. But there's an isser. If a person is bowing down to Hashem, as we'll see the details in a moment, there's an isser to make sure that you're not doing that on a stone, on an Evan Maskis, on a stone floor. That's the isser of Evan Maskis. That's why it's been again, you know, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, right? People bow down to make sure if there's a stone floor, to put something between you and the floor, as we'll see soon. That's the Isser Evan Maskis. Okay, so we're going to do it like this. We're gonna see a Gemara together. It's a Gemara Megillah. This Gemara Megillah of Beis Mebeis is sort of the headquarters of this Sugya in Talmud Bavli. This Isser, the Geder of this Isser of Evan Maskis, of bowing down on a stone floor. And now we're going to see the Sugya in the Gemara is like two Sugyas mixed together. The Gemara is dealing with Evan Maskis, the halacha of Evan Maskis, and it's also dealing at the same time with some Hilchas Tachnun. Okay, so the Gemara as you'll see in a second, it puts it all together, but we'll break it down. Okay, so the Gemara says Megillah like this. Again, Chav Beis and Mebeis. Gufa, Gemara records a Maisa. Rav Ikla Labavel, Betainis Tzivor. Rav, we know, is from Eretz Yisrael. Right, I mentioned this before, the tradition is of Mechida, that he was none other than Rabbi Abba, the Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who wrote the Zohar Kaddish. So, and then he just became known as Rav, when he established the yeshivas in Bavel. But so Rav, when he made his way to Bavel, was in a tiny tzibur. Kam kar b'sefer, the Gemara quotes the Maisa, that he went to shul, and he got an aliyah, and by the aliyah, pasach baruch, he started the aliyah with a bracha like what we do, and chasam v'loy baruch, but when the aliyah is over, he didn't save the ending bracha for an aliyah. That was one peculiar thing that he did. And the next thing that he did by the minyan was Nafal Kul Yama and Payu. Everyone fell, you know, on their faces, in other words, to say Tachnun. Rav Le Nafal Ampe, and Rav didn't fall to say Tachnun. So the an early Gemara dealt with the first thing, in the first part of the Maisa, that Rav, when he got an Ali, didn't say the second Bracha. That's an earlier Gemara. But this Gemara deals with the second part, why Rav didn't say Tachnun in the Shul. Adar, specifically Tainus Tzibur, why not? So the Gemara says like this, my time Rav Le Nafal Ampe, why did Rav not fall on his face? So that's what we're going to see in this Gemara, that it's handling the sugya of Evan Maskis in the context of Tachnun. So it says the Gemara like this, my time Rav lo nafal ape, why did Rav not fall on his face? The Gemara gives the answer, Ritzpa shel avana maisa, because the shul had a stone floor. And as we'll see soon, the mahalach of Rav by Tachnun is not like us, they didn't sit on chairs, b'chol, but on a chair with like your head in your hand on a table. It was on the floor, they would fall on the floor. So therefore there was a problem of Evan Maskis. V'tanya, we have a brisa. The brisa says in pasuk, "Evan maskis le'sidnu ba'artzichem l'shtach v'yis aleha." So a little mistake over there. So it says in pasuk again, you're not allowed to, you know, put an evan maskis to bow down. So and the brisa clarifies, "Iatim l'shtach v'ba'artzichem," that it says in pasuk again, you're not allowed to bow down on an evan maskis. Le'sidnu ba'artzichem. So the brisa is medayik ba'artzichem, that you can't do this, you can't put an Evan Maskis, you can't bow down on an Evan Maskis, ba'artzichem, in your lands. In other words, avalat mishtach, v'alavan mishol beis hamikdash. But in the beis hamikdash, you can, right? Because we know the Beis Hamikdash, the floors were stone. Right, it's all halachas and nichas beis here describe that, and there was an avoid of ishtachavoy. Ishtachavoy wasn't necessarily required in the karbanis, but there's many gemaras like this that it was something that the kahanim would do as ishtachavoy, and it was on stone floor. So in the Beis Hamikdash you're allowed again. It's from the diak of Barzichem. Evan Maskis listened to Barzichem. And Kidu'ula, we also find this Isser of Evan Maskis, so it's discussed in Brisa. It's also discussed with Ula. The Umr Ula, Ula said, Liyasr Torah el Ritzba Shu'al Vanabilvad. Ula says that the Isser of Torah is only regarding a stone floor. Other floors would not be an issue. But Al Kapanim, the Gemara is quoting all these Brisa and a member of Ula. Again, we have this prohibition of Evan Maskis, listen to Barzichem. It has its Heterim, Beis Hamikdash is Mutter, other types of floors. Is mutter, but if it's a stone floor, it's a problem. And so that's why Rav didn't fall to say tachlin. That's the solution of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's true. Yes, that's what we're going to see. The Gemara is going to be dealing with that in a moment, but that's the assumption right now. So Ihachi, we'll see what type of ishtachavoy exactly, but that's the Gemara's assumption. Now, by the way, right away, yeah?
Spreading eagle.
Yeah, we're going to see in a moment, yeah. Right away, the question that really comes up is like, why is the Gemara bringing a brisa and ula, like there's a pasuk. Evan Maskis and Barzichem finished. Like, what is the brisa makes a point that, by the way, you could do it in Beis Hamikdash. Okay, what does that have anything to do with our discussion? Ula says it only applies to stone floors. Other floors is okay. Well, the point over here is to bring out the point of why Rav wasn't allowed to fall on his face. So all you need to do is quote a pasuk. Evan Maskis listen to Barzichem. You want to know where situations that you're allowed to do it? Beis Hamikdash, other floors, okay, gesundheit, I don't know. So you have nowhere else to put. It's like it's almost as if like there's nowhere else in Shas where this pasuk is quoted. So where are we going to quote this brisa? Okay, so we quoted the pasuk. So shtupin any mamar chazal. It's a strange thing, but we'll get to it. That's the Gemara solution. Again, Rav didn't fall for tachdim because it was a stone floor. Iach ifrakti Gemara, mayayu Rav. So why is it only Rav not saying Tachnan? I feel a cool anami. Everyone, no one should be saying Tachnan then. So says the Gemara, one, a couple options. First option is Kameh Rav Havi. Maybe Taka, there was only a stone flooring under Rav's seat, but everyone else was not stone. So then says the Gemara, okay, one second. So Velezel Lagabi Tzibura. So let Rav move out of his seat and be able to say Tachnan. V'limpalalape. So says the Gemara, okay, Leiboy le Mitrich Tzibur, he didn't want to be Matrich then. Wherever he goes, they're going to stand up, so he didn't want to do it, so rather just not say Tachrin. Okay. The Ibai Seima, another possibility of why didn't Rav why did Rav not say Tachrin, but everyone else did. So the Gemara is another possibility. Ibai Seima, Rav, Pisha Yudayim Veraglaim Hava Ovid. The minig of Rav, his tachnon, his minig was to do pishdan raglaim. Mamish stretched out completely. And ukedu ula, and we have a member of ula, dharma ula, loy asra taira ela pishdan raglaim ravad. That the isra of Evan Maskis is only when it's pishdan raglaim. So since Rav's minig was pishdan raglaim, that's why he couldn't say tachnon. So, but everyone else, they didn't have that minig of doing tachnon in such a stretched out way. They only did tachnon like how the Muslims do when they bow down on the floor, but it's not stretched out like that. So since that's not the Isser, so even if they had a stone floor, but that's not a problem. But Rav didn't want to do Tachnun because he does Pishat Avraglayim. So says the Gemara, V'lepalape V'loy Lave Pishat Avraglayim. No. So do Tachnun differently. Don't do Pishat Avraglayim if you can't do it. So says the Gemara, a couple options. First of all, Lo Mishani V'mahage. First Teretz says he didn't want to mishan his minig. His minig is pishut avraglaim. That's a legitimate minig of tachnun. The circumstances don't allow it right now, so fine. So no tachnun. He's not going to do tachnun in a different way. That was his minig. The Ibai same. Another option is, no, avadi, he would change his minig, but there was an issue with him doing the version of tachnun that everyone else was. Adam chashav shani. Adam chashav, and Adam chashav shouldn't do tachnun like that. Why? So the Gemara says, "Kedir Rabbi Lazar, the Amr Rabbi Lazar, ein adam chashav rishay lipal al panav. An adam chashav shouldn't do tachnon with what the Gemara means over here is again like how the Arabs do it, where you're on the floor, your face is on the floor, but it's not pishut avraglaim. Such a type of tachnon an adam chashav shouldn't do. Elam kinenek Yishuv Benun, unless he's confident that he'll be answered like Yishuv Benun was answered." Now, again, one of the worlds is that talking about. Again, that's in the Gemara over there. The Gemara goes on to explain that. But that's what the Gemara says. So, in other words, let's break it down again. So, we have this statement of of the story that Rav didn't say Tachnun, everyone else is saying Tachnun, he's not saying Tachnun. Why not? Again, so the solution of the Gemara was, it's revolving around the issue of Evan Maskus. Okay, so fine. And then, so what? So again, in the Gemara that we just read, you could sort of isolate two independent sugyas over here. There's the halachas of Evan Maskus that we can sort of glean out of the story, out of the back and forth. And then there's some halachas of Tachnun that we could glean out of the back and forth. Thinking about the issue of Evan Maskus, let's just isolate that for a second. So what did we learn? Again, Rav isn't falling on his face. He's not saying Tachnun because of an issue of Evan Maskus. The Gemara said, one second, so why is everyone else saying Tachnun? Why is he the only one not doing it? Okay, so the first answer was, there's only stone under him. There's no stone under anyone else. And he couldn't move his spot because then he's going to make people stand up, whatever. Okay, so then the second teretz was, no, it was a different issue. The issue was that Rav does Pishut HaVeraglayim, you know, and that's where there's an issue of Evan Maskus, but everyone else doesn't do Pishut HaVeraglayim, therefore there's no issue of Evan Maskus. So take a look at Maramaka number 3. Taisvis, just in terms of that isolated back and forth, Taisvis clarifies. Taisvis over there, Maramaka number 3, says like this, Vakasha. Taisvis doesn't understand why didn't the Gemara realize that obvious answer right away. Again, the question was, why is Rav the only one that's dealing with the issue of Evan Maskus and everyone else in the shul is not? So says Taisvis, the most obvious answer is Pishut HaVeraglayim. That's the most obvious answer, that he did Pishut HaVeraglayim, that's why he has the issue, and no one else does. Because Taisvis is coming from an idea, which is that throughout Kol Torah Kula, the word Hishtachavaya always means Pishut HaVeraglayim. And since the pasuk says Evan Maskus leSidn Baritzichem what lishtachavay soleha, so automatically that means that the issue is only Pishut HaVeraglayim. So that's the most obvious thing to say, which is why does Rav only have the issue of Evan Maskus and no one else? Simple, because Rav does the Pishut HaVeraglayim, no one else does. So why is the Gemara not coming up with that right away? First thinking of other things like maybe everyone else had rug and he didn't, like. Those seem to be less, more of a daichik possibilities according to Taisvus. So there's Vakasha. What was the Gemara thinking? Well, it was an obvious answer. What the first Taisvus thought that it's usher even without Pishadayim Vraglayim. Why are you coming up with ukimtas that there's only a stone floor under him? What type of architecture? Like it's a mud nazach. So the most obvious answer is that he does pishut HaVeraglayim. That's why he had an issue, and no one else did. So what was the first teretz of the Gemara? Where is it coming from? You follow? Yeah. Okay. V'yesh leimer. So says the Gemara the answer. It says Taisvis. Dimikara asur leimidrabanan. Says Taisvis. This is the fundamental machlekes. Everyone agrees. Both answers of the Gemara agree on the same points, which is that according to the Torah, the Isser Daraisa is. The question is, what about midrabanan? The first answer held that even if it's not pishut HaVeraglayim, even if it's like the tachnun, like you know, like how Arabs fall on their face, that's at least midrabanan. So therefore, the first teretz was held that okay, you can't answer just Rav's minhag was pishut HaVeraglayim and everyone else wasn't. Even if it's not pishut HaVeraglayim, you're still not allowed to do a midrabanan al kopanim. So that's why the first teretz had to come up with a different ukimta that maybe there's only stone floor under Rav and he didn't want to move his seat to be matriach them because there's no other solution. The basic tachnan that was assumed in those days was at least bowing on the floor. And that's us midrabanan, so there's not much wiggle room. That was the first teretz. The second teretz is changing that assumption. The second teretz, which was taka, that Rav did pishut HaVeraglayim, and that's why he didn't do tachnun. That second teretz is changing the assumption, and the second teretz told ain't isur midrabanan, that there's no isur midrabanan unless it's pishut HaVeraglayim. For Rav, pishut HaVeraglayim would avid asim in HaTorah. That's how Taisvis presents it. The taka between these two solutions to the question of why Rav had the issue of Evan Maskus and no one else did is taka fundamental halachic nafkamina. The first teretz, which is trying to figure out, you know, other ukimtas, there was stone here, it wasn't stone there, he didn't want to be matrich them to move, was working with an assumption, which is, yeah, avada midaraisa, the issue is pishut HaVeraglayim. Avada midrabanan, it's even less than that, even just falling on your face. So lemaisa, practically, if there's stone among, you know, even if you don't do bishul during lemon, it's still going to be an issue. The second teretz changes, and the second teretz holds not like that. That the even midrabanan, the only issue is pishul during lemon. Okay, halach lemaisa. So that's the isolated sug of Evan Maskis. So it comes out from this gemara that there is a machlokes in the gemara. Is there an iser midrabanan of Evan Maskis if you're not doing pishul during lemon? You follow? Okay. So how do we hold? So the answer of how we paskin is based on the last line of the Gemara. So I didn't read this, but now we'll be able to read it. The end of Maramaka number two. So at the end of the Gemara quotes a memra from Rabbi Chiya bar Oven. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Oven. Rabbi Chiya bar Oven said, "Chazinu l'bay v'rava." He says that I saw Abay and Ravan when they did tachnon the matzli etzluye. They would fall on their face. They would not be doing pishul and raglayim. They would be doing like Arabs do, like that type of bowing. But even then, they would be tilting to the side. So they wouldn't allow their face, to, you know, their bodies to be mamish on the floor like that. They'd be tilting to the side to avoid any issue of a stone floor. Oh, so one second. So what do you see from that? That Abay and Rava, they're being makbid, even without pishul and raglayim, to avoid putting their bodies directly to the floor. The indication being that Rabbi Chiya bar Oven is quoting from Abay and Rava, like the assumption of the first teretz, that even without pishul of Erglaim, there's still an iser, at least midar bonon of Evan Maskis, al kedei kach, that Abay and Rava, to avoid that, would tilt to the side. So because of that, most Rishonim, therefore paskin, like the assumption of the first teretz, which is midaraisa vada, the issue is pishul of Erglaim, of midar bonon, it's even without pishul and raglayim. Okay, that's the halacha, and this is how the Rambam paskins as well. If you take a look at Maramaka number four, this is all leading up to a gevaldik akasha. Okay, so you bear with me. All right, so if you take a look at Maramaka number four. The Rambam basically breaks it down for us. The Rambam says as follows. So Maramaka number four is around Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin. Okay, so the Rambam says like this. D'chein, Evan Maskis, Hamur B'Toyer. Okay, now as we read it, you'll see some chedushim that the Rambam throws in here. We'll see which ones we'll develop, but we'll see. D'chein, Evan Maskis, Hamur B'Toyer. This idea of Evan Maskis that the Torah says, you know, let it bow down on, Aval Bishu Mishtachav El L'Shem, says the Rambam again. You're talking about, we're not talking about Avodah Zarah Mamish, you're bowing down to Hashem, like the Gemara, the whole Sugyan Rav, you know, we're talking about Tachman, the Ribbono Shel, and still we're handling the Sugyan of Evan Maskis. So it's not an issue of Avodah Zarah, but if a person does that, like you get Malkus. In other words, it's an Isser from the Torah. Shenemar ve'evim askus, I sit to bar tzuchem, l'shtach v'yisileh. Now says the Rambam, why, where's the Isser coming from? What's this idea b'chlal? V'vnei sh'ayah derech ayvdei akichavim, because that was what the ayvdei avadzara used to do. L'anich evin l'fenea, they would place a stone in front of the avadzara, l'shtach v'yisileh, and they would use that stone to bow down to the avadzara. Since that was the minik by the goyim, so lefichach ein oisin kein l'Hashem. So we don't do that even for Hashem. Again, obviously the person's intention is for the Ribbono Shel Olam, but to be removed from avodah zarah. So that's what the Torah said. Evan Maskis, you're not allowed to do. Now says the Rambam, ve'ein aloike acha yivsha yadav raglav ala evan. The iser from the Torah is only again when you stretch out completely. V'nim sakulei mutoleh, and you're completely on the stone. Shizu yishtachavoyim murta. That's what it means when it says yishtachavoyim chumish in Tanakh. That's what it means. Pishdayim verglayim. Now the Rambam then quotes, "Bamedavam Ramur and Bishara Ratzis." Again, as we saw from the Gemara, from the first price the Gemara quoted, this Isser is only in other places. Avav Mikdash in the Beis Hamikdash, Mutalishtachavais Alavanim. Then you're allowed to bow down on the stone floor. Shenemar Ba'artzichem. It says in Pasuk Ba'artzichem. Ba'artzichem yata mishtachavim alavanim. Avol ata mishtachavim alavanim. Hamavutzolas b'mikdash. That you're allowed to do in the stones of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on. Let's skip the next little paragraph, and then the end of the halacha. The Rambam says like this: the next paragraph over. Kol ha-mishtachav el Hashem al havanim hamutzalos b'loy pishul d'avraglayim. Let's say again, you're using a stone floor and you're bowing down to Hashem, but you're not doing pishul d'avraglayim, but you're bowing down completely to the floor. Ain't a like it. You don't get malchus. It's not an issa d'raisa. Elamakin oisa makas mardas. But you do get Malkus Midrabanan. In other words, it's an Issa Midrabanan. So again, that's the Rambam is paskening. Midraisa, it's Pishul Averglayim. Midrabanan, even not Pishul Averglayim, it's still an Issa Midrabanan. That is the assumption of the first teretz of the Gemara, backed up by the Minig of Abay and Rava, that they would be Makbid not even to do that on the stone floor. And that's a sugya of the Rambam. Okay. Now, that was all sugya number one in terms of Evan Maskus. You follow? Okay. In the Gemara, there was another sugya mixed in, which is the sugya of Tachrin. And there were some halachas of Tachrin that we learned. What was that? First of all, we saw from the Gemara that the minig of Rav by Tachnun was Pishdam Raglayim, right? And this was that's considered to be a legitimate minig. Ad kedei kach, that the Gemara now had a sugya in the sugya of if a person's minig is to do Tachnun with Pishdam Raglayim, are they allowed to change it? Are they allowed to do Tachnun in a different way? And that was also a debate in the Gemara. Again, right? The Gemara asked the question. Okay, Rav, according to the second teretz of the Gemara, right? That's how the Gemara is intertwined. According to the second teretz of the Gemara, that the issue is only Pishudayim Veraglayim, and that's why Rav didn't do Tachanun, because he does Pishudayim Veraglayim, so affect the Gemara. So don't do Pishudayim Veraglayim right now. So what was the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara gave two solutions. First teretz was, you don't change your minig. Your minig is Pishudayim Veraglayim, that's what you do. I means you're not going to do Tachanun today, so don't do Tachanun today, but you don't change your minik. That was the first teretz. Ibo Yisema, Avadi, you change your minik. So why didn't Rav change his minik? Because it was an issue. There's an Indian that if an Adam Choshev shouldn't do Tachanun, you know, in that way of not Pishon Avraglayim. Some sort of secondary issue. But what do you see, again, so what do you see from that little back and forth? As a Tachanun Dekasuki, which is, if a person's minik by Tachanun is to do Pishon Avraglayim, are they allowed to change it, even for legitimate reasons? Do you change that or not? The first teretz of the Gemara said, absolutely not, you don't change it. And the second teretz of the Gemara said, yes, you can. Why didn't Rav change it? There was a particular inyan why Rav didn't want to change it in that particular case. But the concept of changing your minik from Tachnun, from Pishud of Ranglai to lesser levels of bowing, that is mutter. That's a good question by Tachnun. So how do you hold over there? So there's a basic klal. The basic klal is that we have two terutzim. You always go with the Ibai Seima. According to most Rishonim, especially the Sfarish Rishonim, the Kabbalah goes back to the Gainim, you go with the Ibai Seima. By the way, in the previous sugya of Evan Maskis' question, we paskin like the first teretz because there was a proof from Abai and Rava. But just isolating teretz number one, teretz number two, you go with teretz number two. So in this case, we have teretz number one, which is you don't change your minig. Teretz number two, Vada, why not? So we go with teretz number two, which is that a person's minig is do pishud of raglayim. If under certain circumstances, you could change, it's no big deal. And in fact, this is how the Rambam paskins as well. Take a look, go back to Marmok number four. The Rambam, in the middle paragraph that we skipped a little bit, so the Rambam mentions this halacha in the context of Evan Maskis. Says the Rambam, Uvnezeh, again, because of the issue of Evan Maskis, Nogu Kol Yisrael, the minig of Klal Yisrael is they put mats down in shuls that have stone floors. So you'll see, so it's interesting, the Rambam says, like, that's why you go to shul with stone floors, you'll see mats. I mean, a kash v'tevin, or some sort of other, straw, whatever it is, to separate, to separate between their faces and the floor and the stone if they're going to be doing tachnu. Now says Ram, v'im loy matzadavar ma'avdil bein noyo bein ha'evan, and let's say you're talking in a place, and you want to do pishu yidan v'raglayim for tachnun, and there's nothing separate between you and the floor, so you now have to do pishu yidan v'raglayim. So now what do you do? Oh, so now this is where the Ram is going to tell us what the halach is. Do you change your minig or do you not change your minig? So it says the Ram like this. First of all, if you could avoid it, hoyach l'makam achu m'shtachavah. So if you find somewhere else that you can do tachnun, then do Tachnun. In other words, the Rambam is telling you halacha that you can do Tachnun even in a place that you didn't do Shemoneh Esrei. It's a chiddush. Okay? That's number one. That's solution number one. If not, okay, then change your minik. You can't do Pishud Veraglayim because of the stone? Okay, so then tilt to the side. Do another form of Tachnun that is permitted. Kadesh l'yadvik panav ba'oven, in order that, to make sure that you don't have an issue with your face and your body being with the stone. So the Rambam is, it's all clear from the Gemara. Again, from the Gemara you have this mini sugi of Tachnun mixed in there, and two terutzim, two shitas in the Gemara, do you change a minig if you can't do pishud of Raglayim or not? The Rambam paskin is like the second teretz, it's all very, very nice. Fine, no problems at all. But here's the problem. Why in the world is the Rambam saying that in Hilchas Avodah Zarah? That is a Tachnun halacha, the place that it should be is in Hilchas Tefillah. Listen, I don't have such a kasha in the Gemara. That's how Gemaras work. The Gemara talks back and forth, and one sugi, which is talking about Hilchas Shabbos, could have Hilchas Menachas mixed in. That's the way Gemara works. But what does the Rambam do? The Rambam takes the Gemaras and organizes it. No. So there's a sugi of Evan Maskis. That should be in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The Rambam holds Evan Maskis is because staying away from the minig of Avodah Zarah. So this, the shaila of what's deraisa, what's derabanan, Hilchas Avodah Zarah, no problem. But the shaila of Tachnon, which, yes, came out of the sugi of Evan Maskis, what are you mentioning that in Hilchas Avodah Zarah? Talk about that in Hilchas Tachnon. The Rambam talks about Hilchas Tachnon and Hilchas Tefillah, Perikei and Hilchas Tefillah. That's what the Rambam talks about Tachnon, but you're mentioning over here. But what's interesting is that not only does the Rambam use Evan Maskis, the halachas of Evan Maskis and Avodah Zarah, as a platform to introduce these halachas of Tachnon. Again, and these halachas of Tachnon are not mentioned anywhere else. There's two chedushim in Tachnon over here, which is number one, that Tachnon can be said in the area that you didn't damage Manasseh, right? And number two, you could change your minig. If your minig is pichud levar glaim, you can change to something else if you need to. That's a chiddush. The Rambam doesn't mention that in Hilchas Tefillah. Like, he puts it over here. What's also interesting is that even when he talks about Tachnon and Hilchas Tefillah, he references Evan Maskis. It's like the Rambam is compelled to crossbreed these sugyas. Take a look at Maramukim number six. The Rambam says, this is in Hilchas Tefillah, Perikei, Halacha Yadalad. Okay? The Rambam says like this, Kishu oisin nefil sapayim achar tefillah, when you do Tachnon after Shemin Esrei, so he says, Yesh mishu oisa kida. There are some people that do bowing that's called kida, which is not full pishud of raglaim. It's more. The Yesh mishu oisa shtachavoy. And some people do a shtachavoy, which means pishud of raglaim. Says Rambam, you should know though, v'osu lazi shtachavoy alavonim. You should know that if it's a stone floor, you're not allowed to bow down to do a shtachavoy on the stone floor. El b'migdash, unless it's a base of migdash. K'may shabirana b'ilchas over this kechavim. One second. The Rambam assumes, the Rambam writes in his introduction that he assumes the reader of his Sefer only knows Tanakh and nothing else. But the Rambam also assumes that the reader is an exceptionally bright person and remembers everything the Rambam said and is able to be medayik with unbelievable longness. The Rambam has no reason to reference Hilchas Avodah Zarah, especially Hilchas Avodah Zarah is before Sefer Ahava. Hilchas Avodah Zarah is in Sefer Mada, and this is Hilchas Tefillah, which is in Sefer Ahava. The assumption is you already read Mada before you got to Ahava, and whatever you've read, you know. Why does the Rambam even need to tell us this? There's no chiddush over here. By the way, you should know, if you're standing on a stone floor, like, just be cautious. Remember Hilchas Avodah Zarah, remember? This is what I'm doing over here. It's almost as if, again, in the Gemara, of course the Gemaras are crossbreeding. That's how sugyas work in the Gemara. But in the Rambam, so there's some sort of shidduch that the Rambam is making between Evan Maskis and Tachnon. Ki'ilu, it's like, two peas in a pod. L'chayra, it's you say these words. L'chayra, in the Gemara, it's a mikra ba'alma. It's a coincidence, kiviyachol, that it just happens to be the Gemara is talking about both. But the Rambam is telling you it's not a coincidence. There's a shaykhist. Is a strong shaykh.
Does the Rambam mention shaykh halachas in other sections of the
Rambam? If he does, each time it needs to be explained. Each time it needs to be explained. Sometimes he'll do it if it's halacha that has yet to come. Sometimes he'll do that. If it's halacha that you haven't heard of yet, then he'll say, like, just by the way, like, you know, that you should appreciate now. Huh?
He doesn't assume people just take one off the shelf.
No. He assumes that you've read it and you know everything that you've read. He very, very rarely does he cross-reference his own sfarim. Very, very rarely. And again, like I said, when it does, each time needs an explanation. Of you, he's seen both places. Now, again, he's in Hilchas Tefillah, he's referencing Hilchas Avodah Zarah, but I think the more starker kasha is the first one. In Hilchas Avodah Zarah, he's telling Hilchas Tachnon. It's like, I understand, he's putting it in the context of Evan Maskis, but like, that's not the Indian. That's okay, to me, it's a kasha.
What's the source of the Rambam's concern that he's telling you you're let it out in a different place?
What would the issue not be?
Yeah, because oh. The Gemara said that Rabbah
Gemara
done that, but he chose
right.
not to.
So that's really the makar that you see over there. The Gemara assumes that it's okay, but it's a chiddush. The reason why is it a chiddush? Let's see for a second to explain why it's a chiddush. We're gonna okay. Let me hold off on that. We're gonna see that soon. It will be negeh. I want to bring out the chiddush. It'll come up soon. Okay, let's go back for a second. Let's go back to the Gemara. Right? You remember the Gemara started off again. What was the Maisa? Rav didn't say Tachna. Everyone else is saying Tachna. Everyone falls on their face. Rav isn't. So said, why is Rav not saying Tachna? So the Gemara said, because it says in Pasuk, Evan Maskus I said Navarzichen. Vitanya. And there's a Bryce that says that you can bow down in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's Ula. And Ula said it's only an issue on a stone floor, but not other floors. So that we asked the question, we read the Gemara, it's like, why is the Gemara quoting these braises? What is this telling you? Your point is just to explain why you're trying to bring out chumras. You're trying to say how Rav did not fall on his face to say Tachnun. All that, to explain that, all you need to say is, it says in Pasuk, Evan Maskus, says in the Baratzichem. So you have to, you're now bring, why are you quoting it? What is the braisa which is coming to explain a heter of when you're allowed to do it, and Ula, another heter when you're allowed to do it? What is that adding? So Pashab Shat, just to take you through the thought process, the initial svar that you would say is, the Gemara is trying to explain how the issue, how we know that the Isser of Evan Maskus is not Pashad bowing down to Avoy Dazar. In other words, you go in Chumash. Pasuk says, Evan Maskus is the Marzal Mishtach of Isilah, don't bow down on a stone floor. I don't know, if you don't know anything, then you probably think that's an Isser, bowing down to Avoy Dazar. The stone is an Avoy Dazar, it's an Avoy Dazar Dekanyan. Now, if it's an Avoy Dazar, if it's Mamish bowing down to Avoy Dazar, then that's not going to, then that has nothing to do with Rav, and that doesn't apply to a shul where you're davening to Hashem. So in order to explain how the Isser of Evan Maskus is not talking about serving Avoy Dazara, it's even talking about serving Hashem. But even serving Hashem, you're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. To that, the Gemara has to bring the Braisa, which says that the Braisa says you're not allowed to do an Evan Maskus anywhere else. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you can. Well, obviously, it doesn't mean that in the Beis HaMikdash, you can serve Avoy Dazara. So it means that, so from the Braisa, you see that the Evan Maskus issue is not Mamish over there. You're serving the Rabbanu Shlom. And that's why it's Mutar in the Beis HaMikdash. Out of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to. So that's why Papashtas, that's why the Gemara has to bring the Braisa, to prove that don't think Evan Maskus is only an issue when you're dealing with Getchkas. It's dealing with the Rabbanu Shlom is also an issue in Evan Maskus. And that's why we could use that to explain why Rav didn't say Tachan. That explains why the Braisa has to be quoted. But you still don't need Ula. What does Ula say? The issue is only Ritzvah Savanim, a stone floor. But other types of floors are okay. What do you bring with that? Once you bring the Braisa, then I already know that the Isra of Evan Maskus is not just bowing down to Avoy Dazars. And now it can be used to explain why Rav didn't say Tachnun in that shul that had a stone floor. What are you bringing Ula for? Okay. So let's go back to the Rambam. If you take a look at Maromoka number 4, so that middle paragraph that I mentioned, Ubnei Zen Nogu Kol Yisrael, right? So that was a paragraph that the Rambam mentioned, like some Chedushim in Hilchas Tachanun, right? There's something very strange with the order of the Rambam over here. The Rambam is broken down into like sort of three paragraphs, right? So that's what Maromoka number 4 is. So the first paragraph, Rambam tells you what the Isser from the Torah is. The Isser of the Torah is Pishudai Verglayim. And that's the Isser from the Torah. And the Rambam then says, what the heter? Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's allowed. The issue is only outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the first paragraph is telling you what the Isser from the Torah is. The Isser from the Torah is anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, Pishudai Verglayim on a stone floor. That's the first paragraph. Okay. Now, if I was the Rambam, what do I then want to say as the second paragraph? I already told you what the Isser Darais is. What comes next? This in Durban. Okay. So what I would then put is the third paragraph, says the Rambam. If you bow down on a stone floor, Pishudai Verglayim, Malkus. Not Pishudai Verglayim, you get Malkus Martus. So it's Midrabanan. That's what I would do. If for whatever reason, I now want to tell you, oh, by the way, you ever notice when you go to shul that there's rugs on the floor? Have you ever thought about why there's rugs on the floor? You should know it's Taka Minik. It's for a reason. The reason is because they're stone floors and people are going to be doing tachron. And very often when they do tachron, they're on the floor. That's why there's rugs on the floor. Like, that's a very, again, like we said, the halachas of tachron in that paragraph are themselves b'derech agav. But the whole paragraph is b'derech agav. Like the whole thing is b'derech agav. Like I hear it's an interesting point. And when you go to shul, it's like it's not just I'm a random zach. You should know. Like in other words, like there is hamalacha to this. Like the Rambam is basically saying, if let's say you know if there's a shul that's being established and someone and there's machlekes in the board whether we should spend money on rugs, you know, to cover up the stone floor or not. So the Rambam is telling you it's a legitimate zach. So it needs to be said. Don't get me wrong. There's purpose in saying this halacha. But that's not... But l'chayra, first fundamentally, tell me the halachas of Evan Maskis. And then you'll tell me how it's negayah to base knesses and using the funds of the shul and what's good, what's legitimate, what's not. It just doesn't feel organized properly. First the raisa, then the rabban, and then tell me the effects of that practically in shuls. It doesn't flow well. So what's going on over here? Okay, so I think like this. If you read the Rambam carefully, and I'll tell you the truth. When I cut and paste this is from Hebrew books. Now the Rambam, the version of the Rambam in Hebrew books is not the version of the Rambam in Frankel, the Frankel Rambam. Frankel Rambam is much more authoritative, the Nusach. So there are some differences. The diak that I'm going to make is found in this version of the Rambam, but it's even more stark in the Frankel Rambam. Okay, so you know. Okay, there is something interesting in the language of the Rambam. If you take a look at the first here, you know what? I'll tell you, Chaim. Do you mind trying to find the Mada if they have one? Yeah, if there is, the Rambam's like this. In the first paragraph where he talks about, it could be it's in my office. If it's not there, but it's okay. When the Rambam talks about the Issa Daraisa, the Rambam said a few lashonos. Here, let me try to find it over here. Take a look at the third line, for example. The third line in Marmokah number 4, again, the Rambam is describing the Isser from the Torah. The Rambam says, Ve'en aloika, ad sheyiv, oh, you got it? Okay, perfect, yeah. Thank you very much. So the Rambam says like this, Ve'en aloika, ad sheyiv, she yodav, v'raglov, al ha'even. You only get Malkus unless you're, you know, when your hands and feet are stretched out over the stone. The nimsa kulay mutal aleha. And it comes out that your entire body is on top of the stone. The language of the Rambam sounds like we're dealing with one big stone. This one big stone that you are prostrating on, that you're completely laid out on top of. That's every Lashon that he used until this point, when he talked about the Evan, it was in Lashon Yachid. Like, it's one stone that we're talking about. Frankel might be pronounced a little bit more. Is it paragraph? One second. Yeah. Okay. More than that. Go a little bit further. The end of the paragraph, when the Rambam talks about how it's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says like this, Al Mikdash, it's mutter, right? And he quotes the Gemara's drasha, it says, Ba'artzachem, which means, Ba'artzachem, i'ata mishtachem alavanim. Avalat mishtachem alavanim, hamufut solois b'mikdash. What do you mean, that the Gemara didn't say that. That's not an exact quote from the Gemara. The Gemara just said, if you take a look at Marmukah number 4, number 2, you'll see it. The fourth line in the Gemara, it says, Avalat Mishtachva Alavanim Shal Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam goes out of his way to change the Nusach of the Gemara and to add in the words Hamafutzalis. What does Hamafutzalis mean? So that's a reference. The Rambam uses that Lashon in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. When the Rambam talks about how the stones of the Beis HaMikdash were laid, the language of the Rambam is over, he uses the word Mufutzalis over there, and Mufutzalis means huge slabs of stone that were hewn, that were carved outside the Har HaBayis, and then brought in and laid down. A floor that's called Avonim Mefutzalis is not tile. We're not talking about little pieces of tile. We're talking about huge slabs of rock. And again, that's consistent with the entire paragraph over here. We're talking about one stone, like the Rambam said, that your entire body is laid out in front of. But then, when the Rambam talks about, and by the way, if you take a look at the third paragraph, when the Rambam goes back to talk about the Isser Daraisa, what does he say? Kol mishtach v'la Hashem, al havanim hamufutzalas. V'loi pishu davar glayim, so you only get Malkus Mardus. So with the way the Rambam is presenting it, L'chayra is that the Issa D'Raisa with Malkus and so on, and then Malkus Mardus, you know, if it's not Pishon HaVerglaim, is we're not talking about a little tiny, you know, pieces of rock. We're talking about a Mufutzalis. We're talking about a big, like the Beis HaMikdash. Which probably, by the way, couldn't be the reason why the Rambam is even mentioning this halacha of the Beis HaMikdash over here. Again, this is not much of a kasha, but this might be more of an appropriate halacha to mention in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that you're allowed to do this in Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and not a kasha, it's appropriate here as well. But it's again, I guess if you had to say it, even this halacha that the Rambam says that you're allowed to do this in Beis HaMikdash is a little bit out of order. First say what you're not allowed to do, and then you go to the Hetera. The Rambam doesn't do that. Right away, where he deals with the Issa D'Raisa, he then tells you what you're allowed to do, which is in Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because referencing the Beis HaMikdash is telling you what types of stones we're talking about. We're talking about large stones, large slabs. That's the Issa. Now, bearing that in mind, then this middle paragraph is a Veltchidish. What's a Veltchidish? Uvnez nez noga kol Yisrael. Because of this Isser, the minig of Klal Yisrael is Latzia macht Tzalois, Bebatek Netzias, Haritzufais Bavanim. Ritzufais Bavanim doesn't mean Mefutzalis. Ritzufais Bavanim means tile. It means little stones. It doesn't mean, huge slabs like the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam is telling us, because of this Isser from the Torah, which, as far as the Torah is concerned, the way the Torah describes it, Akadei Kach that you get Malkis is what? Is Pishud Avanglayim. On Avonim Mifutzalis, like the Rambam said, Nimsa Kulei Muta Oleh. But the Rambam is saying over here, but you should know Minig Yisrael, Klal Yisrael sort of have this Minig, and it's coming from some, sort of tradition, whatever it is, some hidden tradition that we have, which is that Be'etzim is also an issue on stone that's not Mifutzalis like that. Oh, yeah, that's why we put rugs, the minekash, and so on. Lahavdil bein pineyem ubein havanim. Why is everyone talking about separating your face? Right, everyone like Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Where do people put the tissues? On their knees. That's incorrect. It's supposed to be between your face and the floor. I make that announcement. So we read the Gemara. This is the only the Gemara that you read. You are now experts in the sugya of Evan Maskus and Shas. There is no other place. And where in the Gemara and Evan Maskus did it talk about the idea of covering your separating your face? It's nothing to do with face. It's your whole body. Says the Rambam like this, but this is the Yisod. When you're dealing from the Isser in its purest form, in its, fully developed form, I guess you would say, Ad Kadei Kach, did you get Malkus on it? That's Avada. Avonim Mefutzalis, huge slabs of rock, that's Pishud Devaraglayim. That's the type of thing that you would get Malkus on. But Nogu Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael have this inyan, which is that that's only the fully developed version of the lav. But there is that fully developed look, image, which is a guy, Pishud Devaraglayim, Mamish, on a huge slab. There's a more Shoyroshi, there's a more delicate, a more sublime, there's a Shoyrish to that parts of, so to speak, before it's fully developed. And what is that? Your face by a rock. Now, does that mean a huge slab? No. It means a stone that your face, can be falling upon.
Still Daraisa.
Maybe not Malkus. Loyasra Taira, that's we'll see in a second. But says the Rambam, that's Rambam says. Therefore, the minig of Klal Yisrael is to put these rugs to make sure that even on stone floors that are not huge things, Lahavdul bein pineyim bein avonim. Then the Rambam goes on. And if he didn't find anything, okay, then Hilchos Tachna, as we'll see in a moment. But the Rambam is telling us to use Chiddush. He's still talking to Rises. He's being megalatus in this paragraph, a mamish, a huge side in the Isser Daraisa of Evan Maskus, which is that there are two versions of it. There's the fully developed Isser, which is the talk of the Isser that you get Malkus on, which is, Pishul of Raglayim over Avonim Mufutzalis. But then there's the more subtle Yisoid HaIsser, which is more the Shoyrish of that Isser, and maybe you're not going to get Malkus on it because it's not fully developed yet, but that is your face by a stone. Where's the Makar of this? So I think the Makar is from the fact that the Gemara brought Ula. The Gemara is saying, Rav didn't fall on his face. Why? Because of Evan Maskus. One second, the Gemara says between the lines, Evan Maskus, that's only Avonim Mefutzalis. Like in the Beis HaMikdash. To To that, the Gemara says, yeah, but Ula, remember, Ula, what did Ula say? Ula said, Lo yasra Torah el ritzva shal avonim uvad. Ula's talking to all the boards of shuls. And he's saying that you should know, the issue is only floors of stone. Ula's trying to indicate that it's not an issue any other flooring. But what do you see from Ula? That there is an issue on a stone floor. Stone floor. He's making that broad statement. That's not talking about... Ritzpah shel avonim doesn't mean davka avonim ufutzalis. The way of Amaroim is to be medayik. If Ula is trying to say the issue is only avonim ufutzalis, then doik mino mino. Then Ula should say, even within stone, it's only an issue of what? Of avonim ufutzalis. The fact that Ula says the issue is only of a stone floor means that if it is a stone floor, it's taka an issue. Regardless of how big the stones are. What does that mean? The issue is Evan Maskis. Sloshin Yochid, Evan Maskis, listen to Baratzachim. So this is where we see this inyan, is that, yeah, you're right. The Daraisa in its fully developed version, Al-Kadekach Didiyat Malkis, is Evan Maskis. But the underdeveloped version, the Shoyrish Hadavar, is even a Ritzbah Shalavanim. Why? So there is the Rambam's coming to explain, it's because your face is against the floor of the stone. And as long as there's enough of a stone that your face can be on it, which is an average size tile and so on, then that'll be an issue. And that's why the Gemara is bringing the Braisa and Ula. Yitak, it's true. The Braisa is being brought to prove that Evan Maskis is not just serving Avodah Zarah. That's true from the Braisa. But more than that, but maybe it's only an issue if it's a huge slab of stone like an Evan Maskis, Kipshutai. So it's still not an explanation for Rav. That's why we need Ula to show you that Taka, no, there's an issue even if it's not the fully developed thing. Okay, so now what we see from here, and that again, going back, that's to say the Rambam is not interrupting the flow from Daraisa to Darabonan with this like random, unnecessary, like sort of Derech Agav Dika Minig. No. That Minig is a Giloy on the Issa Daraisa. What we're seeing is that there's a huge Chiddush over here. We find this idea in other places. I've mentioned this many times before, is that in the Rambam, there is such an idea of there's an Issa Daraisa, that there's an Issa D'Raisa that's the Iker Issa that you get Malkus, and then there's like sort of the Issa D'Raisa that you don't get Malkus on. But over here, and we've seen this over here also, but in a very unique way, which is that there's the Issa that you get Malkus on in its fully developed form, where your entire body is outstretched over the stone. But then there's the Shoyrish Ha'inyan, which is not your full body, but the Iker part of who you are, which is at least your face. So as your face is on the stone, that's an Issa D'Raisa. When that is fully manifest in terms of your body being on the stone, that's when you get Malkus. That's all the Issa D'Raisa, and that's the flow of the Rambam. Then after explaining the Issa D'Raisa, then the Rambam says the Issa D'Rabbana, which is if it's not Pisha D'Raisa. Okay. What is the Pnimius HaDover? And once we understand the Pnimius of this Inyan, then we'll see how this is Tachna. This is a Sugi of Tachna. This is not a B'derech Agav. There's a reason why the Rambam put these two things together. There's mamash the same Inyan. What's the side of Evan Maskis? Okay, so if you take a look at Maramaka number 7, so this is a Torah. It's already late. I'm sorry. Okay, but I it's okay. You waited this far. You want the. Okay, so Maramaka number 7. This is from the Kamarna in Sefer Eitzar Chaim. So he says like this. Mishar, let's read it together, and we'll see. We'll see if we can understand it. Mishar Shem Mitzvah, the Sharish of this Mitzvah, this of Evan Maskis, Yesh Ba Raza the Raza. The secrets of secrets. Ve'eftach kinekev machat. I'll open up just a little needle. Kol Said Evan, the secret of an Evan, Bechlal in Chumash, in Torah, it's Blash and Yachid, Evan is Said Shem Ban. The word Evan equals Begmachia, the Shem, you know, 52 with an Aleph. Shem Ban, again, we're not going to go into this too bariches, but for those that have a little background, the word, the Shem Ban always means the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, where it's spelled B'miluy Heyin. So Yud is not just Yud, it's Yud Vav Dalet. Hey is Hey Hey. Vav is Vav Vav. That's how you spell Vav. Hey, Hey Hey. So that's, put that all together, it equals B'gematria 52. That shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei, B'miluy Heyin, which is a shame ban, is always the name that's associated with the avoida of going into low places in order to do the avoid of what's called bimavar birurim, of dealing with ra, dealing with choshech, dealing with difficulties. In other words, let's say on a large scale, there's two dimensions. There's the dimension of atzilus, which is that place of oneness, of elikus, Hashem echad. That's the Rabban Shalom space, kiviyachol. And then there's the dimension of biyah, of bria, tzir, nasiyah. That's the lower worlds. full of chayshech, full of ra, full of taiv as well. And what's the secret? What's the job of a Jew? No, the job of a Jew is we're sent from Nishmas Yisrael, sent from Matzilus, you know, and we go into this low place and we do the best we can. Do the best we can to Mivar Birurim. The name of Hashem Kiviyachol. Now, I'll share with you the Kabbalah Dika Shprach, and then we'll see with Derech Avoida. But the Kabbalah Dika Shprach is that the Mida Kiviyachol of Hashem, so to speak, that travels with us into the lower worlds in order to give us the strength to be Mavar Birurim is the Mida of Malchus. Malchus means Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus L'Avad. It means Hashem is the king, right? Malchus means you're not one with the king. It means there's a king and there's you. Just you acknowledge him. So that Mida of Malchus is always a Mida that's associated with not oneness, with being in a low place and just doing the Avodah of being Mavar Birurim. The name of Hashem that corresponds to that is this name of 52. Okay? Name of 52. And that's the site of Evan. The site of Evan is to be able to, from that one Kiviyachol, that one God, in that dimension of Atzilus, descending down from that one, from that Aleph, is the Shem Ban. That's the site of Evan. Hamalaman, which the Shem Ban that helps to uplift all the sparks of Kedusha, Bechulu, Mavar Birurim. Okay, so now, V'reiv HaVein. So in other words, what the Kamarna just told us is that the secret of Evan Maskis is going to be related to this Avoida of being lowered from Atzilus into the lower worlds of Bia, and to go on your Shlichas to serve Hashem and to try to, you know, make order of this crazy place. That's the name of Evan. And he says like this, V'reiv HaVein. Chet Adam Rishon. Now, when it comes to the Chet of Adam Rishon, the pre she'achal with the fruit that he ate, via Torah, she'aso koyach b'fnei atzma. Now, this is rooted in a statement from Sefer Yetzirah, but again, we're going to explain it b'derech avoda the way we can understand it. In Sefer Yetzirah, it says that a person has to believe in 10 spheres, 10, not 9. 10, not 9. What does it mean, 10, not 9? It means like this. The Kamaran explains that there is such a nisayan where a person, chas v'sholem, can be so enmeshed in the worlds of Biyah, in the lower dimensions, where they're completely, where they disassociate the energy that they have, the kaychas that they have in Biyah, they completely disassociate it from the dimension of Atzilus. In other words, practically speaking, on a very practical human level, there is a phenomenon for a person who starts believing, who's doing the right thing. He's doing the right thing. He's serving the Rabbanu Shalom, like he's accomplishing a lot. But the person begins to believe in his own kaiches. When it says in pasuk kaiches, the person shouldn't say kaiches v'yatzim yadi. So on a simple pshat, it's talking about like making money and gashmis. But even in ruchnias, even in avodas Hashem, there's such a thing where a person says kaiches v'yatzim yadi asal l'zechayel azeh. When the Torah says chayel, the Torah's not just talking about by the Rabbanu Shalom piles of money is nothing. What's chashev? Piles of mitzvahs. That's called a chayel. And still the pasuk says a person shouldn't say kayach v'yatzimad v'asli yisachayel azeh. So there is such a kayach of what? Of the kayach of Evan, which means the kayach of a yid in the worlds of Biyah, being mavar berurim and avayid and accomplishing amazing things, being mamlech Hashem. But there's such an inyan of making the mistake of thinking, of disconnecting the kayach of that Evan from its sharish above. Where the person believes that all the birurim that they're being mavar, all the avodah that they're doing is taka kolichi v'etzim yadi, and that itself is a problem. That itself is not. It's not chas v'shalom. See, that in its most extreme version is like mamash avodah zara, disconnecting biyah, right, from atzilus to in its most grotesque form is avodah zara mamash. This is not avodah zara mamash. This is what. This is already a subtle zach. This is a yid doing as avodah Hashem, but deep down believing that it's in. That's the Isser of Evan Maskus, I said in the Baruch Zichem. Don't bow down on a stone floor. In other words, bipnimius, everything that we experience, see it as really just an unfolding and an unpackaging and a development of something that started much higher and much earlier. So everything that sinas, there's two different ways to think of the relationship between Atzilus and Biyah. One way is, that's Hashemayim, Shemayim, Lashem. V'aris nasan l'vnei adam. And l'vnei adam to do what? To do good things. To do a Torah and avoid it. But l'maisa, it's us. That's a problem. That's the shayrish of avodah zarah. What's the pneumistic way of thinking? The pneumistic way of thinking is not like that. The pneumistic way of thinking is everything that is in Biyah is just a manifestation, a development, a hisgashmus of something that started in a much more dachistic sense in Atzilus. And therefore, meaning everything that I've accomplished was already mushrash within me. The shayrish was already there. What did I do already? I'm just, bringing out something. Of course, I did something, but I'm just bringing out potential that was more than potential. It's just giving space for what was already nigzar from Shemayim. You already, whatever Torah you learned, you already learned it. So whatever is in Biyah is already rooted in Atzilus. There's no real chiluk. That's the isr of Evan Maskus, the mitzvah of Evan Maskus, the sin of Arzachem, is to not be machshev, the mitzias of Biyah, ki'ilu it's the mitzias b'fnei atzmai, but rather to see it as just a development and a fully developed version of what really started already in the tshirish, which is Atzilus. This is why we just got finished saying in Halacha that we see this model of there being something that's betzim shayrish and everything else is a development off of that. You see that baked in the Halachas of Evan Maskus. Like we saw from the Rambam, that what? That there's the shayrish isser, there's the etzim inyan, which is your face on a stone. And then there's a developed version of that, which is your full body, just as a. But when you see the guy in a full, the Pesach Devar Gleim on an Evan Maskus on a big stone like that, the Shurish was already there. The Shurish is already there. Why is that? Like, why is this Nakuda baked into Evan Maskus? The answer is because that's the Pnimus of Evan Maskus. The Pnimus of this Isser is to see things in such a way. Whatever you see as a fully developed version, it's not new. It's anything in Biyah that's fully developed and fully manifest, it started in its root in Atzilus. Take a look at and how he says like this, Shaso Kayach Bifnei Atzma, the chait of Adam Rishon was like this, to make the Evan, to Kivyachal, make it like its own Kayach. The Ein Lasis Shum Kayach Mida Bifnei Atzma. And the person's not allowed to make any Kayach, any Mida, its own Zach. El Laham Shech HaKol Mimakar Shein Laisayf. But to see everything as a hamshacha from Ein Sof, v'bitul kol atayvus and midas rois, and to be mavatal all of your personal inyonim in that light, ad shivatal atzmai v'yenechshav ka'ofer ba'alma. Now he says like this: the site of Evan Maskus, and this is the site of Evan Maskus, Atara. Atara over here is a Kabbalistic reference. I'll just give you the Kabbalistic shyness is like this: this koyach, like I said, of Malchus, which is the Kayach that goes down into the lower world to be Mavar Berurim, is associated with the Nekeva. The Kayach of the Nekeva, like it says in Neshes Chayil, I can't remember the pasuk. She's Isaac. She's Isaac in giving out the food and sustaining things in the lower worlds. According to the Mekubalim, the Shirish of the Nekeva is rooted already in that Teres HaYisayit of the Zachar. So there's the Zachar. But that teres ha'yisayit of the Zohar is really the Sharish of the Nekeva. So you see the Nekeva, she's her own kayach in the lower worlds of Biyah, so it looks like its own kayach. That's what it's not. It's really just a fully development of what really started already in the world of the Zohar. That's called the teres ha'yisayit. That's what he's referencing over here. Sayyid Evan Maskus, which is Atara, that's the site of seeing the Nekeva as really a development of what started already in a higher world of that teres ha'yisayit of the Zohar. Now he says like this. Now this is Mamash Ruch HaKadosh. It says in Pasuk, Ve'evin Maskus. Deloy la'afru dechas v'sham. You can't separate, right? That's the site of Evan Maskus. Don't separate it from its higher place. Misparai, what's the gematria of the word Ve'evin Maskus? Is Elecha Havaya Nafshi Esa. Who recognizes that Pasuk? If you daven Nusachari, daven Eidut Mizrach, you'll recognize it. This is the first Pasuk in Tachman. According to Arizal, the Nus, the capital that you say in Tachman, is L'David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. That's what the Arizal says. Nafshi es elecha. How does it go? Yeah, elecha. Putting elecha nafshi esa is Rosh HaTevis ban nun beis. So elecha Hashem nafshi esa besoid nefilas apayin equals begematria of Evan Maskus. Why is that? So what's the side of Tachanun? Now let's go back. I'm sorry, it's already late. Let's go back to Maramakon number 5. The Rambam introduces Tachnun. In Maramakon number 5, this is Perkei Aloch Aleph. Says the Rambam, Shemoyne Dvarim Tzarcha Mispal Lizar Behem Lasaisen. There are 8 things that a person has to be makbid on in Shemoneh Esrei. He's talking about Shemoneh Esrei right now. 8 things. And if a person wasn't able to do it, ein ma'akev, they're not ma'akev. Eluhein. These are the eight things in Hilchos Shmoneh Esrei. Eluhein. Amida, you have to stand. Noichach Hamikdash, you have to face the Beis Hamikdash. Tikun Haguf, your body should be cleaned. Tikun Hamalbushim, your clothing should be nice. Tikun Hamakom, the place should be a clean place. Hashvayis Hakol, you should say it quietly. Hakriya, you have to bow down a number of times. V'hishtachavoya. What does Hishtachavoya mean? That's Tachnun. Means the Rambam is saying that Tachnun is Halach in Shmoneh Esrei. What is Tachnun? So it's amazing. So let's go into the Pinyus. What's Shmoneh Esrei? Shmoneh Esrei is Yichud. All of davening, you start in Asiya, which is Karbonis, and then you go to a higher world of Yitzira, that's Pesukah D'Zimra, then you go to Kriyashma, that's Bria, and then finally you're in that world of Yichud, of Achdus, that's called Shmoneh Esrei. What's Tachnun then? So the Arizal says the kavanas of Tachanun are that you go from Atzilus mi'igra rama labira mikta. You throw yourself all the way down to the mamish, the lowest of places. That's why by the Arizal it's like Tachanun is dangerous because you mamish that contrast. But comes around with pilei ploim. That's in Hilchos Shmoneh Esrei is Tachanun. I mean, what's the site of Tachanun? Means the site of Tachanun is Evan Maskus, I see in the Bar Tzucha. Means the site of Tachanun is that you're going down to the which means a completely different universe from Yichud Hashem of Atzilus. So it might therefore seem that there's two different universes, two different avoiders, and then you fall into the mistake of Koich HaVeitzim Yadi. So Tachnun is a din in Shmoneh Esrei. That Shmoneh Esrei, which is that place of Yichud, in that place of Yichud, then you go within that to that place of Biyah. In other words, that the lowest world that you're being thrown into to be Mavar Birurim, that's the avoid of Tachnun, is to be Mavar Birurim. But now you're able to be Aymed, that those Birurim that you're making is an extension of Atzilus. It's not your own Kaiches, it's the Rabbanu Shlom's Kaiches from Atzilus that he's sending you as a Shliach from him to go to Biyah. It's not the pshat that you're doing it on your own and now you come to Rabbanu Shlom with Matanis. See, that's the way Shmoneh Esrei, that's the way until Shmoneh Esrei. When you start in Karbanis, it's like you're doing your Avaida and you're gathering unbelievable gifts for the king. And eventually you get to Hatzilus, it's like, oh, see the Rabbanu Shlom, look what I've given you. But then the Rabbanu Shlom takes you to the next Madrig, which is you thought you did that. That wasn't you to begin with, it was me. Varaya, look, I'm going to do it. I'm going to send you back down over there, and you're going to be Mavar Birurim again, but now you realize, whoa, one second, now I'm doing it, and I realize that my Kaichas is not from me, it was from the Rabbanu Shlom's Kaichas. That itself is Evan Maskus. That's the mitzvah of Evan Maskus. So it's not a coincidence that the Gemara puts these two sugyas together, and it's not a coincidence that the Rambam puts it together. It's the same sugya. It's the same sugya in Panemius. So he says an amazing thing. So that's why, again, the word of Evan Maskus equals Begamachi Yolech Havai Nafshi Esa, beside Nefil Sepayim and Mesiris Nefesh Lemisa, Zaisi Chaim Amitya. And that's called being alive. When you realize that everything you have is as a Shliach of Hashem, then your mamish alive. Shem Esparai, an amazing. Evan Maskus, which equals Elech Hashem Nafshi Esa, also equals Dov Melech Yisrael Chayvakai. Ruch HaKadosh, not Ruch HaKadosh, right? Because that's the site. Dav Melech Yisrael's Malchus, and it's Chayv HaKayim, because it's just an extension of Atzilus. It's not separate. It was Atav inside Mitzvah Zayis. That's the site of this mitzvah, and that's site of Beis HaMikdash. Shesham HaYichad HaGomer Masmid. Over there, that's where the Beis HaMikdash is cut off at the end. But the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Yichad is so complete and so thoroughly won, there's no concern of Evan Maskus. That's why Beis HaMikdash is Mutter. But again, that's going to the Sugi. It says again, that's why, like I said, that's why these two sugis of Tachanun and Evan Maskus are intertwined with each other, because the Pnimius of the Inyan is not to see Biyah as separate from Atzilus, but rather to see it as an extension of Atzilus. And because of that, baked into the Isser of Evan Maskus is this Nakuda of seeing something fully developed, but really seeing it as just a development that had its roots in a more edela reality. And that's exactly what the side of Evan Maskus is. No? So Hashem should help us. We should talk about Yisrael never to fall into the trap of Evan Maskus, not Bepoil, obviously, and not Bepnimius, and Yisrael to experience Tov Melech Yisrael Chayv HaKayim Mamash.